Welcome to Seminars for Stronger Relationships. I'm Dr. Jonathan Swinton.
And I'm Dr. Jeremy Boyle.
And we're broadcasting from Swinton & Associates Counseling. And we hope that you enjoyed our last podcast where we talked about popular music and the advice that it gives.
Wasn't that great? I thought it went really well.
I did too. I thought it was good. I'm actually now listening to the radio thinking about, okay, which songs could we do next time when we do that again?
Yeah.
But today we want to take a little bit of a different approach. Today we're going to share a quote that we're going to base our conversation on and try to relate it to some of the current state of interaction in our communities here. The quote is shared by John Gottman. He's a well-known relationship researcher. And his quote is, "You cannot be influential unless you accept influence." What do you think, Dr. Boyle?
You know, I actually think that that's really, really, really important. And it goes along with what we're going to be talking about, is that if you accept influence, it means you're going to accept that, you know, other people have something to offer. And they have opinions, and they form opinions, and they form beliefs. And some of those opinions and beliefs might be about you, right?
No.
No, not you, Dr. Swinton, but about you know, the person that they're talking to, right?
That's true, and that's one of the hard things, because, you know, often people, they communicate with one another with the intention of convincing the other person that they're right.
Right.
Or influencing them, instead of really being receptive to being influence themselves.
Exactly. So what we're talking about, I don't know if you've been able to pick up on it yet. We haven't been really overt about it yet, but what we're going to be talking about today is criticism and defensiveness. And I think defensiveness is the epitome of not accepting influence when we're being defensive.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. You don't know what you're talking about. So we'll give you a little example here of you know, some criticism and defensiveness as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, criticism is something that happens to most of us. I think as human beings, we want to share with each other concerns. In fact, I tell my clients on a regular basis, you need to express your concerns with one another.
Absolutely.
But how do we differentiate a criticism from a complaint? Because, you know, I always tell people complaints are okay, but criticisms are not.
Yeah, and I tell people the exact same thing. And I think one of the key components in determining whether something is a criticism versus a complaint is that typically a criticism, it insinuates that person is flawed in some way. And it also, it highlights their flaws. But another characteristic of a criticism is that it's not that they're just flawed some of the time. It's that they're flawed all of the time.
Yeah.
And so people use words like always, never.
Yeah.
Those types of...
With you on it. You
right,
always.
You, right.
You never.
Exactly.
And they add a personal attack or a blame to that statement. And that's where they really cross the line.
Yeah. You know, let's give some examples of some critical statements and maybe some examples of how we could translate those into a complaint, just so people can kind of hear what we're talking about, the difference.
Absolutely. You know, one I share with people, you know, a typical little daily thing, where let's say you've got a spouse and they aren't as tidy as you would like them to be.
And that never happens, right?
Never. You might say to them, "When are you going to act like an adult and learn to put your socks in the laundry basket?" Is that a criticism?
That's definitely a criticism.
Yeah, it is. It is. So what's a healthier way you could say that?
Well, I think maybe saying something like, I'm frustrated that your socks are on the floor again.
Yeah. You know, they still may not want to hear that.
Right.
But you're not saying you're the problem here. You made a mistake. You need to fix this. What they're expressing is their feelings about the situation or the action or the behavior, not the person.
Yeah. You know, going along with this, if you notice, there's a lot of talk out there. People talk about I feel statements, right? And a lot of people use those wrong.
They do.
Yeah. And one of the things I notice, and this is an important part of a criticism, is that if you're saying an I feel statement, number one, it better be a real feeling. and not a thought. Most of the time when we say I feel, it's actually a thought.
Yeah.
So I feel like, or an opinion, like I feel like you don't like me.
Yeah.
Well, there's no feeling there.
No.
And so, but again, that's a criticism. I feel like you don't like me. It's
right.
You're criticizing that person.
Right. Well, you know, an easy place to think about how people get off the rails with this is just the you part of it. You know, feel you, ... As soon as we do that, we are no longer talking about ourselves or our feelings. What we're talking about are the faults of another person.
Right.
Which isn't going to be received well. And isn't focused on real problem solving. It's focused more on pointing out flaws and faults.
Exactly. And so we need to be able to avoid that by just switching up a little bit the way we say things. It doesn't take a lot of effort to switch it up, but I don't know. Sometimes it seems like it's really hard for people to just switch it up just enough. You don't have to change it a lot. I mean, go back to the example we just used. You know, when are you going to act like an adult and pick up your stinking socks, right? But saying I'm frustrated that your socks are on the floor again, really, really not all that different. But one is owning, one's taking ownership
right.
for how you feel and what kind of effect it's having on you. And
right.
I think sometimes we don't want to tell other people how it's really affecting us.
Right. But that's where the real key comes in, because you know, vulnerability. It's just at the core of healthy communication.
Absolutely.
And to tell them how you're feeling requires some vulnerability. And but with that vulnerability comes real information that can help the person you're speaking with know how to be helpful to you.
Yeah.
Because if you just say to them, you need to pick up your socks, or your socks are on the floor again, or you're such a slob, or whatever. You're trying to tell them why they are a problem rather than identifying how the circumstance is impactful to you emotionally. And that's where the real communication starts to open up when you can share that.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree that the vulnerability, a lot of people talk about trust, but trust doesn't come without vulnerability. You have to be vulnerable before you can do that.
Yeah. Criticism, you know, criticism also tends to happen a little bit more. If you think in terms of couple relationships, it tends to happen a little bit more from the person who may be more comfortable trying to address problems than the spouse who likes to avoid the problems.
Right.
And so it is common for criticism to be a little bit more lopsided in a relationship and be coming from one direction, which can lead to the other spouse coming at it from another direction. And what's their response typically like?
Yeah. So typically when somebody's faced with criticism, they get the big D word, defensiveness.
Yeah.
And defensiveness is just awful. It doesn't feel good to be defensive. It doesn't feel good to the other person that somebody's getting defensive, because the person who's being critical, they feel that they're justified in their criticism.
Yeah.
And then when the other person gets defensive, then the person who's criticizing actually feels even more justified that their criticism was the right thing to do, and that the other person's only getting defensive because they're guilty. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that. Well, you wouldn't get so defensive if you weren't guilty, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's kind of human nature for people to get defensive. I think as human beings, there's something built into us that we get defensive. Because, you know, rarely do I think people get up in the morning with the intent of hurting their spouse's feelings or being problematic with their partner and their relationship. And so it's easy to get defensive and say, no, that's not what I did, or no, I didn't mean for it to be that way, or no, this is what I was trying to get across. Thinking that when we say that, the other person's going to say, oh, well, now that you say that, I feel so much better. Do you think that's ever happened?
I don't think so.
I don't think. In the history of the world, that has ever happened.
No. Wouldn't it be great if that's...
Right. But, you know, defensiveness, even though it is kind of a natural response, it doesn't help. And we think it's going to help because we think, okay, I'm going to give them the context. I'm going to explain to them some other way of looking at this, or what I really remember, or whatever, thinking that's going to help it get better.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, because what it actually does is sends the message to the other person that it's more important to me that you know it wasn't my fault than hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, exactly. And that, and telling the other person that it's really not important to them what they're saying to you, when somebody says that, that just amps up the anger, the frustration, the hurt, the pain that they're already feeling, and it makes it worse. And so instead of making things better, what you notice is that the criticism increases, the defensiveness increases, the criticism goes up, the defensiveness goes up, and pretty soon you've got this all-out war with your relationship, and life's really unhappy at that point.
It is.
You know, it can lead to domestic violence. It can lead to people walking out and
a lot
of leaving
hurt feelings, feeling resentful towards the other person.
Yeah.
And big time feeling misunderstood or misrepresented.
Right. And those resentments, they don't go away overnight either.
They actually build up.
Yeah. They stockpile, and people use those against their spouse or partner later on. So
what do we need to do then to avoid defensiveness? Because I got to be honest with you, this one's hard for me. I've always had to work on defensiveness. I'm kind of a stickler for fairness, and it's easy to get defensive.
Yeah, it's really easy to get defensive. I mean, a lot of times we're embarrassed when people come to us with something, and we don't want to have to deal with the embarrassment.
Sure.
I see that all the time. People don't want to be fully truthful about something because they're just simply embarrassed.
Yeah. Or sometimes we really didn't mean for the other person to experience what they did.
Yeah.
But trying to explain that to them or defensive it away.
Yeah.
There is a better way.
There is a better way.
You know, the better way is that we focus on taking some responsibility.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to take responsibility, particularly when you feel like the other person has lobbed something at you that isn't fair or isn't really what you intended for them to experience. And we think, no, that's not it. That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't help. It doesn't help. The better thing is to say, you know what? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. I'm sorry you experienced that. I feel terrible that this is what you're going through. Those kind of ownerships really change the dynamic of the conversation.
But how many times have you seen this one, Dr. Swinton? This is something I've seen in my office before. People come in and they take kind of pseudo responsibility for what's happened. So they say, "I'm sorry that you chose to be angry at my actions."
No.
Right. Or they say, "Well, I'm sorry you're crying because you think I did something wrong."
Yeah, not good. Not good. Because they're again skirting the responsibility. And, you know, people skirt the responsibility because they think, look, I didn't mean for you to experience this, so I should not have to take responsibility for what you just said.
Yeah.
Or what you experienced. And that's where people are missing it. They don't have to say, "I meant to hurt you the way you're describing."
Yeah.
In order to take responsibility. But they can take responsibility for the emotional experience of the other person. They can say, "You know what? I am so sorry that what I said made you feel that way."
Yeah.
That isn't saying I meant to hurt you.
No, it's absolutely not. And, you know, I'm going to share a quick example of children. A lot of times, you know, a parent will see, let's say, for example, a child throws a ball across the room and it hits their sibling in the face.
Never happens.
And never. No, that's never, ever happens, right? But what happens is that the child throws the ball across the room. And what do the parents say? The parents say, "Why did you throw the ball at your sibling?" And the reason the person doesn't want to take responsibility for that is because their intention, the child's intention, wasn't to throw the ball and hit the person in the face.
No.
They threw the ball and it happened to hit the sibling in the face.
Yeah.
Did it still hurt the sibling? Yes.
Yes.
And does the person still have to take responsibility for throwing the ball?
Yes.
And so that in a couple relationship, that's what that's what has to happen. And even not even just in any relationship, yeah. that's what has to happen. You have to be able to take responsibility for throwing the ball, even though you didn't mean to actually hit the person or hurt them.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and one of the ways that I think is most helpful to be able to grasp how to do this is to think about when you share a concern with somebody that you care about, how do you want them to respond to you?
Yeah. I want them to listen to compassionately to me. I want them to look at me and say, wow, I'm really sorry that hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry that I did not intend to make you feel that way. That was not my intention.
Yeah.
And I can see that I've obviously hurt you.
Yeah. And if they don't do that, it just fuels the fire more. And ultimately, taking ownership and personal responsibility is the only way to resolve the feelings that other person has said. So let me ask a question to you. Let's say somebody is critical. They didn't, you know, use good, healthy communication skills to complain without being attacking to the other person, and they laid into you. Isn't that justification for defensiveness? Can you still not be defensive if someone is very critical to you?
The only other option is to just run. Run away.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. That's bad. Wrong answer. So, you know, and so go back to your question again, because I think that I think there's a lot of value in what you just said, but I wanted you to say it one more time, because I wanted everybody to.
So what I'm getting at, let's say somebody says to you something that's very critical, and you want to be defensive. You feel justified in being defensive because you know what? They were critical and they weren't supposed to. Can you still respond without being defensive in that circumstance?
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can. And sometimes the best thing to say is either nothing at that time. Just say, I need some time to think about what you just said.
If your emotions are high, you're going to be reactive.
Right, because when emotions are too high, reasoning stops, right? We've seen that in our offices probably a few times where people become irrational. But again, you can still take some responsibility for that. You still have to be able to say, okay, you know what? What can I take responsibility for? You have to be able to look at something within that you can take responsibility for. And when you are willing to take responsibility for some part of that, it softens the other person.
Yeah, it does.
It softens the other person a lot.
It does. Because they got vulnerable with you. Maybe they didn't if they were critical in a way, but they were avoiding dealing with an emotion. And if you helped them feel comfortable that, you know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It cools it down. You know, fighting takes two. Fighting takes two. And criticism or defensiveness, as long as one or both parties are throwing those at each other, things are going to continue. But as soon as one slows it down, it can slow the other one down.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and not taking responsibility. You know, I talk with people all the time about being assertive and not aggressive. Mm-hmm. Defensiveness and criticism are aggressive.
They are.
You know, types of things. Now, again, we're not talking about violent physical behavior, but I'm talking about verbally aggressive behavior. Criticism and defensive are both verbally aggressive, but assertiveness shows that you want the other person to, you're inviting them to engage in a conversation.
Yeah.
And by taking some responsibility for it, you're being assertive and you're inviting the other person to join in that conversation with you and to work on it.
Yeah.
So
I love that. And you know, to add to that, I think if you can reframe how you're thinking about why you want to be critical or why you want to be defensive, ultimately people do that because they want to resolve the issue, right?
Yeah.
At some level, there's a motivation to try to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand that criticism and defensiveness are likely to make it worse rather than better, and if you think, okay, what I want is for this person to understand my experience. What I want is for this person to feel better. What I want is for them to see who I really am.
Yeah.
That if you remind yourself of that, taking a different approach is the most likely way to actually accomplish that.
Yeah. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting the
same result.
You got to change it up. So one thing I think that is useful to talk about here too, Dr. Swinton, is that why is this so hard in our society, do you think, for people to grasp taking responsibility and not being defensive or choosing to just be critical, to complain rather than being critical? Why do you think that's so hard?
You know, I think there are a lot of complicated reasons. I think some of the common ones that we're seeing right now is the advent of technology.
Yeah.
You know, anymore, people are accustomed to communicating electronically. And when you do that, it's very easy to be a little bit more harsh than you might if someone was looking right at you.
Yeah.
And B, it's easy to misinterpret things and to be defensive because you can't hear a person's tone of voice. You can't hear some of what the intent might be behind what they're communicating.
How many times have you heard this one? I didn't like the tone of your email. I didn't like the tone of your text message. Right? There's that tone in it that people assume is there when it may not actually be.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a huge thing. Is I think we are so accustomed now to communicating electronically that we instead are not we're not communicating like we might if we're face to face, even when we get face to face. So yeah. I do counsel my clients, you know what, if you have to discuss an issue that has any level of emotional heaviness to it, you've got to do it face to face or in the very least by phone. So that you can hear some of the tone and intent behind that. No texting, no emails, no social media messages.
You know, and there's a lot of value with that face-to-face connection as well, is that you can see the body language of the person. You can see whether they're rolling their eyes. I think another good indicator is that if you don't want to be looking at the person because you're so angry still, it's probably not the time to begin talking about it yet.
Yep.
You know, if you don't even want to touch the person and you just are like, you know, stay away from me, I can't stand you, probably not the best time to talk about it yet. You should probably wait a little while before you talk about
definitely
an issue.
You know, I have this little rule of thumb I follow that if I'm in a circumstance where I want to respond to somebody by email or something, let's say somebody asks a question and I'm a little emotional about it, I get a little bit frustrated or upset, I have a rule that I don't ever send that email if I haven't slept on it. And so I go to sleep, the next day I look at it and I realize, ooh.
Yeah.
That was a little bit strong. I need to soften this up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's a good practice. Email makes it easy, right? You know, when you're doing that. But in the moment, that's where the emotion regulation comes in. That's where people need that self-discipline to be able to say, okay, I need to time out. I need to take a break. I need to tell my partner, my spouse, hey, you know what? I need 20 minutes. Can we not talk about this right now? I'm too mad. Can we take a break and I'll come back in 20 minutes and we'll talk about this again.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are afraid that if their spouse or their partner walks away from a conversation, they're never going to talk about it again.
They are. They are afraid because you know what? They might have seen that happen.
Yeah.
They might have seen that happen. And you know, to those people, go meet with an expert. You know, we've got great tools. Maybe we'll do a podcast later about how to do healthy emotional breaks from each other in ways where you're still addressing things. But, you know, I did have one other thought to your previous question. Why is this happening?
Yeah,
I think if you look at the examples in society right now, you know, I've always considered myself a bit of a news junkie. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting pretty sick of opening the news because all I hear are people being horribly critical and defensive with one another all over the place. And whoever can be more direct and whoever can be more and more to the point about the other's flaws, somehow that's rewarded. That's what's getting the attention.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because it isn't what I try to teach to my kids. It isn't what I try to teach to my clients. Yeah. And it isn't what any of us like to hear from anybody.
Well, and some people, I've heard people say, well, I'm just complaining. I'm just complaining about it. But in reality, they're not really complaining about it. They're being very critical.
Yeah.
They're saying that other people, whether it's a politician, whether it's a, you know, a friend, a cousin, a relative, a, you know, a football player, that they're not complaining about it. They're being critical and they're the comments they're making are insinuating that that other person is flawed at their very core,
which is hurtful.
And it's not a good environment for anybody to thrive in or have great relationships in.
No. And so, I think our society is really heading down a bad path with that. And so anybody that's listening, let's all join together to make some effort on this.
Yeah.
Let's end the criticism. Let's end the defensiveness and show that we do care more about other people than we care about ourselves, particularly the people we love.
Exactly. Relationships are important, and we need to do what we can to work on those. And so hopefully you've taken from today that two of those things that you can do differently are decrease the amount of criticism and decrease the defensiveness. Now, notice I didn't say take it completely away, because it's not realistic for me to say, you're going to have moments where you're defensive. You're going to have moments where you're critical. But if you can decrease it by a lot in your relationship, things will be a whole lot better.
It's going to be much better. It's going to be much better. Think about why you care about the people that you're talking with before you go in there. And hopefully it'll change your mindset.
Well, I think that does it for episode 2.
Yes, thank you for joining us here at Seminars for Stronger Relationships from Swinton Associates Counseling. I'm Dr. Swinton.
And I'm Dr. Jeremy Boyle.
And special thanks to Stefan Kartenberg for our music that's provided today. We'll see you next time.
See you later.